This is Vulnerability Matters from the Money Advice Trust. Hello, hello. Welcome back to Vulnerability Matters from the Money Advice Trust. I'm Chris Fitch. As you know, our podcast series likes to talk to the people who matter. And today's season closing episode does just that, as we're joined by Beth Martin, Ofgem's Director for Consumer Protection and Competition, for a detailed look at the regulator's new consumer vulnerability strategy. Published in April 2025, this new strategy states it sets out new and important measures to drive far better outcomes for consumers. But what exactly is new about the strategy? And just how will it meet an army of challenges that range from net zero to the cost of living to market reform? To understand this, I asked Beth to walk us through the strategy, to explain how Ofgem plan to hold firms to account in light of it, and just what everyday differences will consumers and those working with them actually notice. Beth, welcome to Vulnerability Matters. Absolutely fantastic to have you here. We're looking today at Ofgem's 2025 Consumer Vulnerability Strategy. But before we dive into the details, can you just tell us a bit about yourself and why Ofgem believes vulnerability needs its own separate dedicated strategy?
So first of all, thank you very much for having me. Perhaps I'll start with the easy part of that question. So my name's Beth Martin. I am the Director for Consumer Protection and Competition here in Ofgem. I've been in Ofgem for just over a year. My background is really in markets and consumer protection and consumer regulation. So I'm hoping to bring that passion about supporting consumers into Ofgem and into the vulnerability strategy. So I guess to start from the vision, so our vision is that we've got an energy market that is delivering positive and fair outcomes for all consumers. And as part of that, we want to make sure we're supporting and protecting consumers in vulnerable situations as a key priority for us. It's aligned with our statutory duties and it's really critical. Why do we think that's important? Well, let's take a step back. You know, we might only have six energy retailers, but we're serving the whole country. Everyone needs energy. It's a really basic need. But I think what we do know is that people who are in vulnerable situations might face higher or different barriers to others. So they might have physical or mental health challenges. Maybe they're struggling financially. Maybe they're digitally disadvantaged. That can make it harder for them to engage in the market as it is. And then if you think about the fact that this market is shifting considerably, government has a huge challenge to reach net zero by 2030. And all of that, I think, puts a real critical onus on us to really shine a light on how we make the market work now and for the future. So I do think this is quite a significant challenge for us. And what we within Ofgem as the regulator wanted to do was make sure that we were really honest with ourselves and with the sector about what those challenges are, where we think we need to make progress, and importantly, to make sure we have a mechanism to hold ourselves to account. So that's why we have this specific dedicated vulnerability strategy. So the value of that to me is that we're bringing all of our work for consumers in vulnerable situations together so that for us as Ofgem and for industry can use that to drive improved outcome for those consumers.
It's interesting because you've also got that maturity as a regulator, seeing what other regulators are doing, seeing what's happening in other markets, because clearly one consumer, many regulated markets, so lots to learn from them. So let's get into the priority themes in the strategy and let's walk through them. Let's take the first one, which is improving identification and smarter use of data. Now, everybody cries out, please improve your identification, use data more smartly. But practically, what are firms now expected to do here that perhaps they weren't, there wasn't such a great emphasis on before?
If I may, I might start briefly and say what the problem is that we're trying to solve, and then I will definitely come on and give you some practical changes that we want to see. So I think, as I've hopefully set out, we see vulnerability as being very complex and multidimensional. And obviously, if we can improve how we understand a customer's situation, that means we can provide better and more targeted support. But at the moment, I don't think we do that particularly well. So, you know, within our sector, we see issues with customers having to repeatedly set out their circumstances with their energy supplier, as well as their other utility providers, maybe their bank. We see actually suppliers struggling to proactively identify which consumers might need support and what type of support. And we also see challenges within the processes and that can be hard for consumers to engage with. So all of that's important because, you know, we're in a market where we're looking at the world becoming really quite different. We're looking at changes to get to net zero, more complication in the market. And we need to make sure we're really thinking about the customer in that and how they can engage and how we can find customer-focused solutions. But data, as you've said, has a really important role to play in then how we might deliver those solutions. So in terms of the practical changes then, a really big part of this is about access to data. So the sector has made huge strides in data sharing, particularly between energy and water firms, and we really want to see that go further. So we're asking energy companies to actively engage with us, with government, with other parties, including other sectors, about how they do that. So, for example, could we use the information we have about who is getting the warm homes discount, who gets fuel direct, and maybe the equivalent schemes in water sector to actually better identify those customers who already meet some of those eligibility criteria and use that to help us offer more targeted support to the customers who need it? Can we work with suppliers to develop, can suppliers work with consumer groups and charities to develop partnerships so they can use those to identify the vulnerable members of our communities? When we see that working well, we see those partner organisations not only helping the energy companies identify when someone might need help, but actually they're really able to step in and provide that kind of individual focus support across a range of issues that a supplier probably isn't kind of well placed to do. We'd also love to see energy companies proactively exploring solutions to utilise the data that they have so that they can better understand and support their customers. So we see steps towards that. Some are already using digital solutions like AI to kind of collate the data that they have and use that to support customer service agents on picking up issues and identifying solutions. And I guess being in Ofgem, I probably can't talk about data without referencing smart meters. We really want to see traditional meters being replaced with smart meters wherever possible and with the consent of the consumer, because they have a huge number of benefits for those who are in vulnerable situations. So they can make it easier to top up, for example. You don't have to take a key down the road to the shop. It enables suppliers to be able to reach out and proactively offer support in response to self-disconnection type of situations. They can add emergency credits direct to the meter where that's in the customer's best interest. And the meters can also be switched between different modes more easily, so that enables a supplier to be much more responsive to the customer's needs and their preferences.
Let's think about cost of living energy crisis, because your second theme is supporting consumers who are struggling to pay. And there's clearly a lot of focus in the strategy on proactive early intervention. So again, what are you hoping firms will do to solve that problem that you set out for us at the start?
Well, you're right. There is a strong focus on early intervention in the strategy. And that's because research shows, and you know, I hear anecdotally all the time when I'm out speaking to customers and consumer groups and charities, that the earlier a customer engages with the debt problem, the easier it is to resolve that problem. And we see lots of really good practice from suppliers actually in their proactive engagement with customers who are struggling to pay. But we also see inconsistency in how that's delivered. And as a result, then we see inconsistency in the outcomes that consumers see. So there's a few things that we want to see. We want to see energy companies think about how they're designing their bills, how they're designing their communications. Do they have inclusive range of engagement channels? Because if we can make communication easier, make it easier to understand and easier to respond to, that will really help customers engage with their suppliers. But I think it's also important to acknowledge that suppliers can't solve this problem on their own. There'll be times when the supplier simply isn't going to be the best person for someone who is really struggling to engage with. Maybe there's a breakdown of trust with the customer. Maybe an individual has a really complex set of needs that a supplier can't deal with all on their own. And in those situations, we think that consumer advocacy groups have a really important role to play. You know, they often have dedicated, highly trained specialists. They can offer wraparound support for customers in other areas. And that not only helps the individual in the round, but actually it can really help build back that relationship with supplier. So the other specific thing we're really looking for from suppliers then is for them to improve how they're engaging with those advocacy groups. And specifically, we want to introduce a new code of practice between suppliers and consumer groups and charities to build up the standard, the good practice, and then standardise it.
It's really interesting to see, because people will be listening, maybe they don't work in energy, they work in financial services or maybe water, but they'll see elements here of the FCA's reference to kind of foreseeable harm. So your version of foreseeable harm is that proactive early intervention. And I guess that drives customer service improvements, which is kind of that third theme. And it's difficult here. I mean, how are Ofgem really going to judge whether the customer experience is actually improving for consumers in vulnerable circumstances? I mean, it's one thing to say it, it's another thing to do it.
Yeah, this is a great question because you're absolutely right. And we want to be able to demonstrate that we've got an improvement as well. So I guess it's partly about the data that we've got and what we're looking at. And it's obviously partly about what we're doing with that. So in terms of the data that we've got, we do quite a lot of consumer research within Ofgem. And the most relevant here is our energy satisfaction survey. That survey tracks overall customer satisfaction with energy companies, but it also drills down into some of the important detailed areas. So, for example, how easy is it to get in touch with your supplier? Are you happy with the support that you get when you do? And we can track that. So that survey, for example, tells us that actually the latest satisfaction data, so from January this year, was 81%, which is the highest level on record for that survey. So which is great, shows that things are moving in the right direction. But we also can see from that data that there's more to do. So if we look at kind of subgroups of customers, we see that there are lower levels of satisfaction, for example, for those who are renting, carers, those who are living with a disability. So, and those are the patterns that have the potential to reflect greater vulnerability within certain groups of cost of living pressures. So we can look at that data, and if we can see improvements in particularly within those subgroups, it will give us a sense that we're on the right track. We also regularly gather data from suppliers themselves, and we look across a range of metrics. So we'll look at things like the social obligations that they have, but we also look at customer service statistics. So how quickly do they answer the phone? How long do they take resolving a complaint? How many complaints do they have and what are they about? And again, that gives us some quite specific granular data about what will actually be happening on the ground and maybe what sits underneath some of those satisfaction scores. And we're looking to use this process of the vulnerability strategy to build our understanding of that data and specifically get some more information about what that data is telling us about customers who might be in vulnerable situations.
I'm really pleased to hear you talk about segmentation and drilling down into the data at the Ofgem end. The capability of firms to do the same thing, because it's great the regulator does this, but we want firms to do they have the data, the structures, the architecture in place to do that drilling down so they go beyond a broad customers in vulnerable circumstances group and are able to look beneath that either in terms of support need or by a driver or characteristic of vulnerability?
That's a great question, isn't it? I mean, I would say that a lot of these firms sit on very rich data sources. They have huge amount of information about their customers. They regularly are asking customers when they're engaging with them about their circumstances so they can support them better. So do they have the data? Yes, in large part, I think they have a lot of it. Are they using it to guide the decisions they're taking and actually think about what support they're offering? It's perhaps a little bit less clear to me at this point in time. And that's hopefully what I think we'll try and get as we set up those sessions and we're having these active conversations with suppliers, is to tease out how they're using it. And I guess it will show us as well if there are gaps in their data, if there are things that they've struggled to find out, it will help us to draw those out too.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's often also the confusion between outcomes and outputs. Outcomes are often not defined as a term by regulator or by firms. So we're all equally guilty sometimes. And an emphasis on doing things, like the number of how quickly we answer calls or correspondence, how swiftly we respond to certain elements. Do you think that there's potential here in the energy sector to look at concrete material changes in the circumstance of a customer in terms of an outcome, be that financial difficulty, financial resolution? What do you think there?
Yeah, I mean, this is a very live topic for us in Ofgem at the moment. We've got a separate piece of work, which I might touch on as we speak later, about consumer confidence, which is really trying to identify what are the outcomes that we want to see for customers and how are we getting there? And also it's testing ourselves on have we got the balance right, as you say, between those prescriptive and sometimes process or output driven rules and whether they're actually delivering the outcomes. So I think you're absolutely right to draw it out. And, you know, we'll be consulting soon. So it's entirely possible that we haven't quite gone far enough in really being specific and pulling out what do the outcomes need to look like for these customer groups, and really up for being challenged on that, and for kind of any listeners who look at that consultation and think we haven't got it right for telling us.
Now, this is also a big active debate as well, is the fourth theme, which is positive and inclusive innovation. Now, we know from our brethren in the financial services sector, I think one of the things that came out from the FCA's review was that they did recently, a firm's behaviour and treatment of customers in vulnerable circumstances, was 85% of firms said they were taking significant action on design, consideration of new products, services. But when it came to user testing and actually concrete evidence of things on the ground, I think it was like 29%. Now, you're not responsible for financial services. What are we looking for here in terms of the energy market, in terms of new products and services that really embed and build in consumer vulnerability and some of those harms?
It's interesting you start that by referring to the FCA, because I think you're really right to draw out that this is a shared challenge. And in lots of ways, the FCA have started trying to tackle some of these issues, maybe a little bit earlier than we have. So it's absolutely right to kind of draw out that broader regulatory landscape. And we certainly look to learn the lessons from them. In relation to innovation in energy, I think I would start by saying we don't want to be prescriptive, because actually innovation is what brings diversity to the market. It's what helps suppliers develop different types of product that might be attractive to different types of consumers and meet different needs. And we want all of that to have a thriving retail energy market. But what we want to see is that when they're doing it, they are thinking about doing that in an inclusive way so that everyone can benefit. And as you say, thinking about the user at the end of the day and not just having some whizzy new product that might help them. Although I would say that some of the innovation that they're drawing on is about how they're using data and technology within their own services, and that can be really helpful. So we're seeing, for example, suppliers adopting AI in their customer service functions. They've got AI in chatbot functions, for example, and they can use that to identify maybe a wider range of consumers in vulnerable situations. They can pick up on different kind of tags or different words that might mean they need to probe a bit further. They're also introducing specialised teams, and getting to that user point, when they've got those specialised teams, they're then able to offer sensitive and appropriate support and prioritise those individuals who might be in need of it. But I would also flag there are some really interesting wider projects out there in the market. So, for example, a number of different suppliers have built relationships either with local government, sometimes with local or national charities. And through those projects, they're looking to help people decarbonize their homes or to access insulation products. So, for example, to access some of the government schemes like the Energy Company Obligation, which is targeted at helping low-income households actually get access to those projects. And the more we see suppliers do that and think about, well, what are the challenges for consumers and how can we help them, how can we partner with charities who can help address those, that's where you start to see some of the really interesting innovation and as you say, hopefully better outcomes for those people. Another great example of innovation in the market is something that the Energy Systems Catapult have created. It's called the Warm Home Prescription. I think it's been running since about 2021 as a pilot, and what that project does is it works with the NHS and with energy suppliers to prescribe a warm home to people who are struggling to afford energy and have a severe health condition. And that prescription can then pay for their heating bills. It might pay for low carbon upgrades like insulation or heat pumps, and it can pay for heating controls. So really interesting ways of looking at what's actually going on for an individual and how can we think about how we're engaging with them and who else they might be working with to really try and get some support to them.
That's great. That's great to hear. It's now you've teased us a little bit about these vulnerability focus sessions with firms. Now, firstly, I hope they're in public and that you're selling tickets. Is that correct? Can you confirm that, Beth Martin? That's going to be. What can firms expect from these sessions, and how will they be used to drive change? What will happen in them?
Yeah, so I don't know that we'll be selling tickets. I'm not entirely sure how open and honest a conversation we'd manage with suppliers.
Dynamic pricing, Beth. That's what we'd be looking for.
Well, <so. laughs> I mean, what we're trying to do here is we're actually building on a model that we've got going with suppliers already, which is we have 6 monthly sessions with the kind of top team in Ofgem that look at all of what we're trying to achieve in the retail market. And we bring the top team with each supplier in. We have an open and honest conversation about the data we're seeing from them. And, you know, as we've talked about before, we look at outcomes and outputs, and we try and kind of say, well, what's going well and what's not going well. And we wanted to build on that in the space of vulnerability. So these focus sessions are about creating space so we can have a really practical conversation, building on that model around vulnerability. So we want to ask things like, what is the supplier's actual approach to supporting customers in vulnerable situations? What are they doing in practice? How do they define what a good outcome looks like? Is that the same as our definition? And then what are they doing to deliver it? So we really want to try and get to the heart of what they think their role is, what they're actually doing to deliver the outcomes that we expect of them. want them to be collaborative, because we want to give suppliers the opportunity to showcase where they are, where they do have good practice, and how that's delivering for customers in vulnerable situations. Because I think it's really important that we can pull out some of those lessons for other suppliers who may be struggling a bit more. But we also want to create the space for an honest conversation. So if we're not happy with what's happening, if we don't think the outcomes are sufficient, if there's more that can be done, if it's a good start but not quite there yet, it's really important that we say that to suppliers, because we need to set that expectation of what good looks like. So that, I think, is the basic model. I suppose the other things that we as a regulator are hoping to get out of it, which we can then share with everyone, is that we want to build a better understanding of the vulnerability landscape. So through the conversation, through the data that we gather, through the additional data that we'll hopefully get through these sessions, we will get a much more comprehensive understanding of what vulnerability looks like in the energy sector and what techniques work or don't work to try and help people through those circumstances. And we'll draw all of that together, the sessions, the data, and we'll be publishing a report after the session. So no tickets, but you will get your insight into what we've identified, that's good. We think there's good practice, where we want suppliers to go further through that report.
And will you have consumers or lived experience on the, I was going to call them the judging panel, that makes it sound like strictly, but kind of a, will you have that type of representation, or will it be a more regulator firm dialogue?
So that's a really good question. At the moment, the model is just the regulator and the firm, but we're still developing how it will work in practice at the minute. And that's definitely a good challenge for me to take back to the team.
Okay, that's fantastic. Right, last question here. And it's great. We brought in other elements. We mentioned financial services, but we should remember that energy was one of the very first movers around consumer vulnerability. I think it came back to 2013. So it's great that there's this learning across the sectors. But if you could give our listeners, they might work in energy, they might work in water or telecommunication, if you give them one message about what you've learned from the consumer vulnerability strategy, pulling it together, what would it be?
Well, I think the key thing is going back to where we started. We want this to be a living strategy that drives change. So if I could give a key message to anyone listening to this, please take this strategy, use it to identify what you're doing well, what you're not doing well, how to drive progress. Use it to hold us collectively to account for delivering it, because we in Ofgem will lead the way. I think we all have a responsibility, and we all have different parts to play in improving those customer outcomes.
Fantastic. Beth Martin, thank you very much.
And that was Beth Martin from Ofgem, giving us a direct insight into their new consumer vulnerability strategy. If you're interested in reading the full strategy, do check out the podcast description for links, or equally fire up Ask Jeeves or Google to go and search for it now. And that's it, not just for this episode, but for this season. We'll be back in September with some very special lived experience content, so do look out for the trailer. But we have one last treat to keep you company until then. Our summer lecture series, delivered this year by Dr. Elizabeth Blakelock on the theme of the Inclusion Blueprint, a vulnerability toolkit for the practical and tactical, starts on the 6th of August, so do have a look out for that. So until we meet again, stay smart, keep switched on, and keep on remembering that vulnerability matters. Vulnerability Matters was produced by Mandy McGreevy and Phil King, and brought to you by the Money Advice Trust.